sent it to my parents this week and my dad and make sure the sound quality was okay. So we're putting those on the website if you're interested. I'm going to share this morning. We're going to take communion. I think just the vein of things and how everything is. I've got something to share that the Lord's put on my heart, but I felt this anyways. I might split it up into two. And Pastor Dan will be here next week, but I might split this up into two and just have something concise I want to share about. Go ahead and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 32, and we spoke on that last week, if you remember. Spoke on the Bride of Christ, and I think it's important to understand the plans, purposes, hearts, and intentions of the Lord, and that your life is not just let me get saved and just hang on and do the best I can. But God has an intent and express purpose for each and every one of us, and it can be seen. We've talked about the church for a lot. The church is mentioned. It's the body. We prayed about that with Kevin. We're praying for him this morning. Church is known as the army of God, the priesthood of God. The family, the household of God. It's bigger than just me, but the church is also known as the Bride of Christ. I imagine the kids are having a good time down there, because I can hear whatever you're listening to. So the church is also known as the Bride of Christ, and it's something where we could... Phil, can you get down there and turn that off?
Turn that off.
Or yeah, close those doors. Yeah, that's really distracting. Church is known as the Bride of Christ, and that's something that we hear of, but it's not really understood in depth in a lot of areas. And I'm going to breeze through a few things this morning. And we've spoken some on the body of Christ. It's not an individual thing. And again, just a reminder, we looked at Moses, by faith he in Hebrews 11. But when they crossed the Red Sea, it went from he to they. You never go through what God has called you through if you're not a meaningful part of a they. Amen. Life's bigger than you. Okay? And we looked at the body of Christ and the middle wall of partition, how we create barriers and we separate ourselves from others based on things that the Lord has not said and spoken. And the body of Christ is a family. Amen? And I can be different from you. You can be different from me. I can have different background, everything from my different color of my skin to whatever denomination you are. Ultimately, are you a child of the King? And we have the same Father. Amen? Christ is the head, right? And so I'm connected with Jesus. You're connected with Jesus. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Our union's found in our relationship to Him. And so we spoke some about the Bride of Christ last week, and I got hung up on the Word of God. Now the Word cleanses us. If you remember, we looked in Acts chapter 2, just as a recap. And in Acts 2, we saw how there's a pretty much a reformational thing that happened. Spirit of God fell on the day of Pentecost. People are saying, who are these different languages they're speaking in? They're drunk. And Peter, instead of just saying, hey, this is a great meeting, bless God, we're happy, that's part of it. But he took them back to Scripture, right? And he said, in order to sustain a supernatural move of God, you have to be balanced with Scripture. Amen?
Amen.
And that's important because it's something that's easily overlooked. Well, I'm not going to go there. But it's important to be balanced with Scripture, okay? I want the Spirit of God working in my life, that we're balanced. And it said, my wife reminded me, I forgot to say this last week, it's all Spirit you blow up, all Word you dry up. If you put them together, you go up or grow up. You have to, Spirit and Word always match up, okay? It has to, all right? Okay, I'm going to read Ephesians 5, 25 through 32 again, just as a recap from last week. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or any such thing, like we sang this morning, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it. Just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And if you remember last week, if you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, thank you, Bill. And just, Bill, put those up there. The scripture's on there. I appreciate that. We go back from Genesis to Revelation. It's easy to overlook, but you see the bride of Christ. And in Genesis chapter 2, it says God made a bride comparable to Adam. And someone here last week came up to me afterwards and said, that when you said comparable, just lit up in me. Because I'm not going to go there. We are comparable. The body of Christ, and Jesus also said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh. And so we talked about Jesus on the cross. Father, why have you forsaken me? Woman, behold your son. There at the cross, blood and water poured out, just as the woman, he was joined to his church, right? And there's a unity and there's a union that comes from that. Being in him, being connected to Christ, being in Christ. Let me say this. Kind of my heart this morning, there's a unity and there's a union that comes from being his bride that's birthed through intimacy. Amen? Why is marriage under such attack in this country? It's a picture of Christ in the church. A man and a woman rightly related reflect the image and character of God. It's Christ in his church. It's the design that God put up. Husband and a wife are to be joined. Husband and wife are intimate, correct? Okay. I was reading or hearing somewhere, and not 100% sure it's true, but I can see it. Let me read a passage to you real quick. In Corinthians, where is it? It speaks of, and I have lost my train of where I am. Oh, here I am. No, I'm not. Here I am. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 through 17. You can turn there if you want. You don't have to. I'm going to read it quickly. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one in body with her? For the two shall become one flesh. Then he goes on, I'll speak of this later, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit in him. We also have the mind of Christ. Spirit, soul, and body right there. So I've seen it said or heard, and I think it's scientific. I'm not a scientist, so I don't know. But that whenever a man and a woman come together in intimate union, that part of the DNA in that man stays in that woman forever. Don't know if it's true. I've heard it. I can believe it. I think it was a very credible source. Something happens. I was listening. There's when I was in Bible school, one of my teachers was a pastor, and he made a comment. He was counseling this young couple. There's an unhealthy relationship there. And he was counseling, and he said, I knew there was an unhealthy relationship going on sexually. And he had him in the room with them, and they said, well, how do you know that? He said, because you're starting to act just alike. Marriage, intimacy, it's a merger of identities. If you look at couples, married couples, and been like that for a long time, for years, what starts to happen when intimacy is formed with a husband and a wife? What happens? If you notice, we don't just say, oh, it's just this person, that's person. Usually, husband and wife, it's a couple, right? Am I making any sense?
Yes.
Help me out. Amen.
Amen.
So it's intimacy. It's a union that happens between husband and wife. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural after that spiritual. So we see that in the natural and the spirit is the same way. Okay? Join. So we're intimate with him. There's a union that happens. And the Lord begins to operate. So my desires are no longer my desires. They become his. Just like with my wife and I, you know, Andrew and I as a married couple have been married, I was thinking, 8 years, don't know where the time's gone. Some of you have gotten beat by a lot. Bless you guys for that. And so after a while, you know, just like anything with your wife, you get to understand her mood. She can come into the room that I can just sense. She can say something. She can look a certain way. What happens? Over time, a husband and wife, right, they join. Intimate union, It's a merger of identities. It's not just two people. It's a merger, and it becomes not just Clay, not just Andrea, but Clay and Andrea, the Lockridges. Right? So we're also joined to Him through our intimacy with Him. As we're intimate with Him, and if you look at it this way, He's the bridegroom, the male's the seed carrier, seed of Christ within us. He pours Himself within us, and we begin to reproduce and demonstrate who He is in the earth, because there's comes only through a bridegroom intimacy. Amen?
Amen?
And if you go to Revelation, it says, this is interesting, it says, we talked about this last week, it's the Spirit and the Bride say come. The church is known as a lot of different things. In Revelation, it talks about the bridegroom and the bride. We said last week, Jesus' first miracle was at a wedding. But notice, even in that, it didn't say the church is known as many different things. It didn't say the body and the spirit say come. The church is also known as the army of God in Ephesians 6. Not the army and the spirit. So the Lord left with the spirit. It wasn't the priesthood and the spirit. It's the spirit and the bride say come, because I believe in the end time church, one thing we're going to be known for is our bridal relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen? You get to the book of Revelation. It's the Spirit and the Bride. It goes from Genesis and Revelation. And it's talking about the Bride of Christ. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. There's a song that came out a few years ago. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say. And so there's such a union with Him that it's no longer... it's no longer me operating at, because it's with spirit, soul, and body, that we're one in spirit with Him. We also have the mind of Christ, but we're to align and become one in Him. Let me say, in the early church, if you look in Paul and John's letters, the phrase "in Christ" was mentioned over 200 times. We talked about Ephesians, one of the main messages in Ephesians, in Christ, in Him. 30 some times. One of the primary ways they knew in that time, and it's evident by the scriptures that they wrote, it wasn't so much Christianity as a list of, all right, do this, don't do this, stay away from this, go here. It was more about being in union with our bridegroom.
Amen.
What happens when you're in union with Him?
You know.
Exactly. I write my laws on your mind and put them in your heart. And it goes from being something that's external that I'm trying to do to something that's internal that comes from, that's birthed out of relationship. And I don't have to try so hard to do this. I do it because I'm becoming one with Him through intimacy. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, become old, all things have become new. Just let me muse for a minute. Now get back to my notes. Something I want to focus on, the Lord's been speaking to me a lot about it. It's not so much about trying to kill an old man that's already dead. Remember, the old man's dead and we've been married to another.
Amen.
It's developing the new man. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. So what does that mean? It means when I sin and I stub my toe and I mess up, like we all do, I don't go and say, that's who I am. I can't help myself. That's who I am. I don't say that. I said, no, that's who I used to be, but that's not my identity. And then I deal with the same thing we hear Peter and David. Lord, if we're faithful and just to confess our sins, He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I did this. It's not who I am. It's not who I am in You as someone in Christ. It's someone who I used to be. It's not my identity. It's like Peter and David, I'm going to repent and turn and go towards You. And I start looking and seeing myself on the basis of who I am in Him through intimacy and union rather than who I used to be, right? And that's important because we spend so much time trying to correct something that God's already taken care of. Amen?
Amen.
And it's important for us to work and develop and understand. And a lot of times that begins with our understanding of Him and our relationship to Him. Let me move on. There's a passage I'm going to read, and it was 2 Corinthians. I should know this passage, but 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I love this passage. Because what happens? How are we transformed? Looking into His face, looking into His mirror, speaks of the Word of God. Looking into Him. What's the heart of what I'm saying right now? If we're His bride, from Genesis, and we talk about Ephesians, husband and wife joins a picture, Christ and His church, bridegroom and the bride. Revelation, bridegroom and the bride. Talks about the church being the bride. The intimacy that flows from that, as we look in His face and as we're intimate, the last song Andrew is saying, it's one of my favorite, honestly. Usually I can't get through it without crying unless I take my gaze off of it. And I almost asked when I came up, and I don't know if it's true, but one thing we struggle with, I just mean the church in large, is seeing the Lord as someone that you can be intimate with. And as a love relationship with Him. Amen?
Amen.
And that I can love, I can lavish my affections upon Him. But I can say, Lord, I love You, not for what You've done, but just for who You are. You listen, I've heard someone say, and I've seen it's true, even worship over the last 50 years, we've gone from singing songs about God and about Jesus to singing songs directly to Him. Why is that? End time church, the bride of Christ, the Spirit and the bride say come. We're intimate with Him. I don't have to just sing about Him. I can sing to Him because I'm joined in union with Him. There's a unity and there's a union that flows. And as I'm connected with Him, I truly believe something that will solve a lot of our problems, we'll speak more about this in a minute, is if we just focus. Sometimes there's a lot of things. The Bible is a big book, right? I could go through and find so many different things to teach about. Each book, there's so many different subjects, so much you could teach on. But sometimes it would behoove us just to go back and say, you know what, Lord? You are the bridegroom. It's clear throughout Scripture. We are the bride. It's clear throughout Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. You must want intimacy with us. And I go back just to the basics. And I believe, and this is in my heart, I've always said this. If the Lord came to me at night and said, Clay, you've got one more message to preach. I'm going to put you in Yankee Stadium. And then I'm taking you home. What would I teach on? Intimacy and a personal relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Because I believe in the end, that's the key. If I'm with Him and if I'm following after Him, the Spirit will teach us all things, right? And so much we focus on here and we focus on there. Let me, I've butchered my notes. I'm going to skip. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to look at, I'm not going to read the whole parable. We know it. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 through 13. Again, Jesus is comparing the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, bride and bridegroom situation. I'm going to read verse 6 through verse 10, because we know this. And at midnight, the cry was heard, Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, No, lest there should not be enough for us and for you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went to the wedding, and the door was shut. A couple things. Again, Jesus speaking, kingdom of God. I believe is speaking towards the end time church. Bride and bridegroom. Two things. Let me say this. First, they had to go out to meet him. Do you know that sometimes in your walk with the Lord, it can take effort on your part to go meet the Lord? I was listening this week, two examples, listening to a guy and he was sharing. And he says, Pastor has a big ministry, big church. And he said, I always tell my staff, he said, never go and teach and share people about how amazing it always is between you and the Lord. He says, because what you're doing in people, that's not reality, right? How many of you have ever gone to be with the Lord and it was all you could do to go do it? Lord, I don't want to get up early this morning and pray. Lord, you're calling me, it's an effort for me to do it. And how many of you have gone and you've prayed? Come to a prayer meeting, you've gone with yourself, you've been in a worship service, and you felt nothing. Happens to me a lot. Does that mean we shouldn't do it? Remember last week, one of the things we spoke of, we're governed and led by the Word, not how we feel.
Amen.
And so I go back to the Word. Like I say again, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Pray without ceasing. Well, I don't feel anything, Lord. What does the Word say? And there's an effort that it takes sometimes. I don't feel like it. But the Lord is personal and He desires to be known. There's stories I've heard about. There's one guy who was, the Lord called him aside, and he went, and he was in ministry, he was able to do this, and he went aside for a week, and fasting and prayer, got absolutely nothing until the very last days. I felt nothing. The very last day, the Lord showed up in a profound way. I was in here this week. I had to work. I met you, Phil, across there, and I came back here to work on Thursday. And a lot of times I come in here, I've got my laptop, I put on my pulpit, go back there, I get good reception, and I work, and I turn on worship music. Guess what, man? Not good. I mean, it wasn't good. I tried and tried, I was like banging my head against the wall, I had nothing. Friday, I was telling my wife, I was praying, Friday and Saturday, I really spent a lot of time preparing my heart, share something with you guys. And I said, I told Andrew, I feel like I'm just winging it. I get nothing. Nothing. And I come in here yesterday in the afternoon, and I walk in, just me, and the Spirit of the Lord and the presence of God is so heavy where I feel like I just could die and go to heaven. It was just so intense. I can't explain that. What's the point? It's an effort, so I don't say, well, you know, Thursday I got nothing, man. I'm not going to do this anymore. You keep pursuing and you keep pressing, and you think the Lord doesn't notice your efforts for Him. You're coming to me, and sometimes I don't understand how the Lord works with this, and I don't know. It's just the reality. And let me say this. Jeremiah says, do I not feel the heavens and the earth? I was listening to a Bible teacher one time, and he was sharing his and Bible school had just started, and he said Bible school students get the quits, and someone quits, and so someone else takes the lead, and they quit too. And he said these two girls came into my office and said, we don't know what's happened. We get to Bible school, we're expecting great things, and we get nothing. We feel nothing. We don't have anything. And he said, well, do I not feel heaven and earth? Again, what's the Word say? One of them received it, one of them left. And the Lord met the girl powerfully throughout the year. Don't always go off of your feelings. Amen?
Amen.
Or else I'm not going to have my Saturday experience if I use my Thursday to base everything off of.
That's right.
It takes an effort to go out to meet Him. He's the bridegroom. He's to be desired. He's at the front. The bride's coming through. It doesn't matter how I feel. I'm going to my bride. Another aspect of this parable, oil throughout Scripture speaks of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Covenant, they would anoint you with oil. Five of them lost it, right? Five of them had it. The virgins, these speak of Christians and it speaks of believers. I was listening to another story this week. A guy went out, he was a young guy in ministry, went out with the season. Minister, they were traveling, doing conferences all over the country. And he said, I was with the guy, we'd been to these different places, these different areas. And he said, after a while, we were going someplace, and he looked at it and said, John, he said, when are we going to stop? I need to stop this, I'm backsliding. And the guy said, no, you're not backsliding. He said, no, I'm not sinning, I'm not doing anything, but I'm losing my connection with my bridegroom. I'm so busy in the ministry that I'm forgetting what's the most important thing. filled with the Spirit. That's in Ephesians. Be continually filled. If all of us in here are ministers, right? For Kevin, when Kevin goes to the prison today, what's going to actually happen? The Holy Spirit fills him, and virtue flows out. And if he just keeps doing, I know you don't do this, Kevin, but if he keeps doing this and just runs and runs and runs and runs, and never goes to fill up with him through intimacy, Lord, I just want to be with you. It's not going to be long. He's going to be going to these prisons and have nothing to give. He's going to be running on fumes. And he can't say, well, I'm going to come to church and get it from you, because, you know, there's no secondhand experiences in God. And so you cannot say, this person's met the Lord powerfully, so I'm going to connect with them and just receive. We were talking to Jim last week, and wouldn't it be nice if the Bible, I could get it just by osmosis, I could sleep on it and it just fills me. There's an osmosis, yes. I wish that worked when I was in school. When I had to study. But there's an element, there's an aspect where there's no secondhand experiences in God.
That's right.
You can hear, I was listening to a guy, and he said, people come to me and they want me to lay hands on them. Lord, impart us what you have. And while I do believe in that, he said, one thing I cannot give you, I cannot impart to you my experience with the Lord or my life with the Lord. That's something that works between you and the Lord. So we've spoken a lot about the church, the body, the family of God, and there's an element where we're all connected. And, you know, in actuality, it's hard to move borders of the body unless you're all on the same page. But there's something individual about the church as well, right?
Amen.
And at the end of the day, the relationship between a husband and wife is between the husband and the wife. It's not between me and my wife and everyone else, right?
Right.
It's between me and my wife. There's the relationship we have with the Lord where at the end of the day, it's just you and him. And the bridegroom comes, and I've got no oil because I've done nothing. Spirit of God, I've not opened myself up to him. I've not been intimate with him. What happens? Shuts the door. Those with the oil go in. Amen? There's an element. We have to continually fill ourselves. We have to spend time. We have to be intimate with him because we're his bride. The Lord's speaking that. In the tabernacle of Moses, maybe I shouldn't say that. It's a fascinating thing to me. Outer court, holy place, most holy place. The only piece of furniture that left the holy place to go to the most holy place was the altar of incense, which speaks of prayer and worship. It speaks of your intimacy with him. Amen. There's something that goes forward when we move forward in God. There's an intimate relationship that's birthed with him. I'm going to speak more about that. Let me just share, I found some notes. I'm going to speak about this later. What's your whistle to it? God's faculties of communication. If the Lord is a personal God who can be known, intimately known, and experienced. In Psalms 94, he sees, he hears. I'm going to this more some other time. Smells, he touches, he speaks, he experiences pleasure, he experiences grief, he experiences joy. These are all in the scriptures. I'm going to go through them later. Love. He has pity for people. He walks among his people. There's some other things that I'm going to talk about later. The Lord responds to us in personal ways, even how we respond to him, that the Lord can be known. Have you ever, the Lord ever speak to you?
Yes.
Can we ever feel him? There's been meetings. I've never been in one. I was actually in a meeting one time, and I didn't, but someone else, where you can actually smell a fragrance.
Mm-hmm.
That actually happened. You actually smell things. There's other things I've seen and experienced along those lines, but there are elements where the Lord will come and manifest himself among his people in a personal way. There's a guy I knew growing up, and you don't have to believe it, but I do. I know his relationship with God. He said he was praying one time, and he stopped or whatever, and he felt someone slap him on the shoulder. He turned around. Who is this? No one was there. He said the Lord was using that to draw him back to himself. I shared a story several months ago about worship, the worship leader who went to this church, And he was from a big church and great worship, and he went to this church, and it was a little church in the country, and he was sitting there criticizing the worship in his heart. Ah, this isn't anything. And he felt someone hit his stomach, and no one was there. And he felt the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him right there, and it changed and ended up in a book. The Lord can work through us in ways we can hear him, we can see. He gives you dreams and visions at night, as in Acts 2. Okay? Where I can experience the Lord on an intimate level. There's areas where you can come in, you can be with the Lord, and it's, sometimes it's like I had yesterday when I was in here. That's where spiritual growth and development happens. When you're with the Lord and you feel him, it's just this. Has anyone ever experienced that before? And it's almost so much where you can't even speak because you're just, the Lord is just with you.
Yeah.
Lord, you're here. I don't know what to say. You're just good. We love you and we honor you. We need to make time for that in our life. What is that? That's intimacy with him, with our bridegroom. Amen?
Yeah.
I can't go through life if I don't have that. Let me go through one more. Let me share one more thing with you guys, and then I'm going to wrap up. We're going to take communion this morning. In biblical times, one of the main purposes of having a wife was to produce a son. Okay? In James, it says that when the Lord comes back, he's looking for the precious fruit of the earth.
Amen.
Fruit's different from gifts, right? Gifts are free. They say nothing about me. Fruit is developed. And so if someone's offering and they walk and they have the character and the fruit of God in their life, it's clear to me that they've been walking with the Lord, because it's not something that comes naturally to you, right?
Amen.
I was talking to someone this week about someone who has great giftings in the Lord. No one here, anyone knows, they have great giftings in the Lord, but as far as the fruit in their life and the character, it's just, it's not. Gift says nothing about you, it says everything about him. In our union, our intimacy with him, there's fruitfulness that develops that happens no other way. Amen? Remember, let me read this passage. And we all know this, you don't have to turn there. It's John 15, 4 through 6. It says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself," he comes looking for the precious fruit of the earth, right? Can you produce fruit yourself? No. "The branch cannot produce fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine." Union, intimacy. "Neither can you unless you abide in me." How is fruit produced?
Abiding.
"I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears what? Much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered, and they gather him and throw him into the fire, and they are burned." I was reading Andrew Murray this week. Let me read this quote, and I'm wrapping up. You familiar with Andrew Murray? Written great material on prayer and things like that. Just an old, very seasoned saint. And observe especially, it was not that he said, "Come to abide with me," but it was "abide in me." There's a union that happens, abiding in him. The intercourse was not only to be unbroken, but most intimate and complete. He opened his arms to press you into his bosom. He opened his heart to welcome you there. He opened up all the divine fullness of his life and love and offered to take you up into its fellowship, to make you wholly one with himself. There is a depth of meaning you cannot realize in words. Abide in me. How do I produce fruit?
Abiding.
Abiding in him. Intimacy. Lord, but you know, everything you do in life, every place you go, you have to do it with him. It has to be him. The anointing abides. Speaks to every one of you. It abides in you. When I come in here, anytime I do any ministry anywhere, something silly you might think I do, I'll take my notes, everything I do, I lay it there, and I say, "Holy Spirit, I give you this. If you don't speak through me, then nothing happens. If you don't talk to me, nothing happens. If you don't do this, nothing happens." Why is that? Because I understand there has to be a union to produce fruit in the earth. Whether that's fruit as far as your character, whether that's fruit just in anything that you do, There has to be a union between you and the Lord. Amen? How is a union formed? I don't make time to connect one-on-one with Him. See, the bride and the bridegroom, this is more than just a devotional message. Starts in Genesis. Bride ends in Revelation. The Spirit and the bride. The bride. The Lord says you are His bride. What does the bride do? The Scripture. It's communes. There's intimacy that He has. She has. We're the church. The church is depicted as a woman. I'm going to close. I have some other things to share. I'll probably share with it later. But I'm going to close with this because we're going to take communion. There's an element like there always is in the body of Christ where there's rest and effort. One of the most paradoxical scriptures, labor to enter into is rest. So there's a place where it's all I can do to labor, to enter into who He is. I go out to meet Him so I can rest in Him. Come to me and I will give you rest. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. There's a rest that comes from being in His presence. If you've ever, sometimes I've been in really in a bad place. There's been anxiety within me, something going on. And I'll go be with the Lord for a while. And I'll come out and you say, wow, you're different. What's wrong? I've been with the Lord. There's an abiding that happens. There's a unity. I go out to meet Him. Labor. I might not want to. I might want to complain to God. And it's okay if you complain. It's in the Scriptures. But you still come to Him. And you say, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm here to be with You. Labor into that rest. You're the bridegroom. I'm the bride. And there should be union between me and you. There should be intimacy between me and you, just as with my natural wife and me. Because that's how the Lord describes you as His church. Amen. Don't get so busy. One thing I think in the American church is we get so busy working for Him and working with every other thing we've got that we fail to have a reflective life of communion with the Lord. Happens to all of us. I was speaking to my brother, and he was sharing about when he went to Africa. And some of it, you know, it's just a different life over there, and we live in America. It's busier. There's things going on. But he said the simplicity that they had, he said, I can't do all of that just because of my schedule, but there's some things they do there that I need to incorporate to my own life. Everyone should have at least one moment in the day where you quiet your hearts before God. Even if it's full throttle day, you should have some moment in the day where you experience a bridegroom and a bride relationship. We're the body of Christ. We should be connected just the same as I've been preaching. We should be connected with each other. We're the army of the Lord. There's warfare involved. We'll speak about that later. It should be operating on those levels. We're priests of God. We're all these different things. We're the family of God. Part of what we are as an ecclesia is His bride. And I should have bridal relationships with Him. So there's a union. And I can be, like I say in Revelation, the Spirit and the bride. So there's a oneness between the Holy Spirit and myself through intimacy. We can cry out together. Remember in Acts that it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit? There's a partnership we have with the Spirit of God. Amen? And I'm in union with Him, and I can press forward and move in Him. Amen. Amen. We're going to take communion. Bob and Kevin, you guys want to pass out? Pete, I didn't ask you before, but you want to play while we do this? Pass out communion.